Today I'm pleased to welcome Thomas Lindsay. Thomas is the co-founder, executive director, and chief legal counsel at the Community Environmental Legal Defense Fund, a nonprofit law firm that helps municipal governments across the country protect their environmental and community rights. He'll be speaking next Saturday, the 2nd of November at 7, at the Unitarian Universalist Congregation here in Santa Fe, giving a public presentation called In the Name of Sustainability, a New Community Rights Movement. This event is sponsored by We Are People Here and the New Mexico Coalition for Community Rights. Thomas Lindsay, welcome to the Radio Cafe.
Yes, Diana. Thanks for having us on the show.
You are going to be speaking here in Santa Fe, and then in the next couple of days at Taos in Las Vegas, about the community rights movement that's growing across the United States. Can you tell us what is the community rights movement, briefly?
Well, it's basically communities and municipalities who are fed up with the existing status of the law, in that the law essentially confers more rights on corporations and corporate directors and decision makers than communities themselves. And so when you have situations like hydrofracking across the United States, which is now occurring in different states, including New Mexico, that the corporations who are coming in to do the fracking actually under the law have more rights than the people in the communities to say no to the fracking happening in their own neighborhoods, their own places where they live. And so a movement, although we don't call it that yet, it's more or less about 160 different communities across the United States who are beginning to rise up to say, we don't think that's right. And in fact, in many ways, that system of law in which corporations have more rights than communities makes sustainability illegal in some ways. That if we want to project our own vision of sustainability, that under our system of law, that vision of sustainability, because it runs afoul of these corporate rights, is essentially illegal in the United States. And that to change that, we have to do more than just change light bulbs or buy Priuses or invest better or buy green stuff. That we actually have to seize our system of law to change it. And the only way that's going to happen is not through writing letters to Congress or urging our state representatives to do different things, but actually to stand up and refuse to follow the status of the law, which accords corporations greater rights in our communities.
Now, you're not new to New Mexico. You have been working with the County of Mora for quite some time.
The County of Mora and the City of Las Vegas, as well as some other places in New Mexico, have begun to follow the lead of these 160 other communities in eight other states, which have begun to use their municipal entities, their municipal corporations, in other words, the local governments where they live, to actually launch what we would call frontal challenges to the system of law that exists in which corporations have more rights in those communities. And so, for example, the County of Mora, about 5 months ago, became the first county in the United States to actually ban oil and gas extraction, hydrocarbon extraction, in the County of Mora. And they did that over fears to their water supply and the fact that the community should have more decision-making authority than the oil and gas corporations that are coming in to use the county. And Mora County, in doing so, followed the lead of places like the City of Pittsburgh, which became the first major municipality in the United States in 2010. To adopt an ordinance that bans fracking and oil and gas drilling within the City of Pittsburgh. And so what you're seeing across the United States right now is essentially a new form of activism, and it's one based on community rights, in essence liberating our communities to be able to use the law to advance economic and environmental sustainability over these pre-existing claimed rights of corporations that are used to force certain corporate activities into those communities.
It's a complicated thing, I believe, to get community rights to have as much power as state rights and federal rights. How do you go about that? How do you come into a community and teach them that they do have the power to have a bit more home rule than they have had in the past?
Well, it's a huge challenge, and every community pretty much has to follow, in some ways, the same journey or path that we had to go through to figure out what the problem really was in the United States. And for us, we started out as a conventional environmental law firm back in 1995, and we attempted to use those tools and mechanisms that were told exists for us when a fracking company wants to come in, or a factory farm corporation, or a company like Nestle Water Corporation in New England, which is trying to take people's water from their aquifer within their community. That we're told that when those types of things happen, that we have all kinds of recourse to the existing legal system. We can appeal permits, we can sue, we can, in other words, we have rights, and that the law allows us to exercise those rights to stop those things from harming us, which we deem to not be beneficial within our community. And so for about 8 years, we had a conventional environmental law practice in which we were representing about 300 community organizations across the state of Pennsylvania, which is where we began our work. And what we found was that, in essence, you know, environmental law over the past 40 years has been about appealing permits. So the state will issue a permit, or the federal government issues a permit to a corporation to put something into a community. And then the community is automatically on the defensive with the burden of proof to actually attempt to overturn that permit that's been issued to the corporation to put this environmentally harmful thing into the community. And it's been the way environmental law has been practiced for the past 40 years, which is, in essence, we as environmental lawyers go in, and all we end up doing is enforcing the corporation's own regulations against them. So, you know, in the scheme of law that we have, when a regulatory mechanism gets set up to regulate the taking of water, or regulate fracking, or regulate corporate factory farms or whatever, that it's generally the corporations who are the largest in that particular industry who end up writing the regulations to regulate themselves. And so we're in this weird situation where, as environmental lawyers, we end up going in on behalf of a community organization to enforce the corporation's own regulations against them. And if we think that that regulatory scheme that's written by the actors who want to come in and take stuff from our communities will actually accord communities any rights under that structure of law, it's really us that's crazy. We're the crazy ones, because we keep doing the same thing over and over and over again, yet expecting a different result the next time. And we're working off a script that's been written for us by the very corporations that ostensibly those regulations are supposed to regulate. It should come as no wonder, I guess, in some ways, that 40 years after the major environmental laws were passed, in some ways which set up this regulatory regime, that things are worse now today by almost every major environmental statistic than they were 40 years ago. So things are getting worse, and our activism has been very anemic. It's almost been helpless in the face of this roaring machine that the corporations have to use when they come into our communities. And so you ask the question about how complex it is, you know, for communities to begin to stand up. Communities haven't stood up for the last 150 years in this country in any real way, which has sought to actually dismantle the system of law itself that allows corporations to come in. So when we're faced with a fracking issue or a water withdrawal issue or something like that, we tend to think, hey, it's the corporation that's the enemy. We need to face off against the corporation. But what we don't see sometimes is the 200 years of law that has been manufactured by those corporations to enable them to come into the community to do what they do. And most of that deals with our own governments. You know, a professor in Canada said last year, he said, you know, we can blame Coca-Cola and Monsanto and all these big corporations like Walmart for doing environmental damage, but the biggest actor in causing environmental damage is our own governments. Because they license and permit certain harms to occur through the regulatory frameworks and the environmental laws. And so we have to understand that when the corporations arrive on our doorstep, that the problem is not the corporation. The problem is the government that's enabling the corporation to do what it does.
So you're
and
really
in effect,
coming in and helping
yeah.
communities learn how to learn what they can do to fight the corporations. Not just fight the corporations, actually, but to change their laws that will prevent the corporations from coming in the first place.
Yes, I think we're in a much bigger fight at this point than that easily framed, you know, it's us against the corporation thing. It's not the corporation that's the problem. It's the fact that we have a system of law that enables the corporations to do what they do. And so communities coming to that realization, going back to your original question, is very difficult. People have to actually dismantle their brains in some ways, because we've all been colonized to think that we live in a democracy and that if we can't stop something because we have the tools to do it under that democratic system in the first place, that it's our fault if we don't actually stop something. And in reality, the game is rigged. And if we're tired of losing, and when we say losing, we're also losing chunks of everything that we love, whether it's land or places or whatever, that we have to stop losing. And to stop losing, we have to change the rules of the game. And to change the rules of the game, you got to actually build a movement that begins to disobey the existing law and replace it with something new. And it's very exciting because that's what Mora County has begun to do in places like Las Vegas and other places in New Mexico who are beginning to do this work. They're saying enough already. We're going to build a new structure of law, almost a sustainability bill of rights, sustainability constitution that mm-hmm. will govern our local areas. And then we're going to challenge the existing system to come in and try to take it out. And as they come in to try to take it out, we're actually going to begin to call for a new constitution at the state level and perhaps even at the federal level to take our vision of what the law should be in which community rights are elevated over corporate ones and actually drive that into our constitutional systems of law. It's very exciting. It's the beginning of a rather lengthy process towards people understanding themselves as lawmakers rather than as consumers or as recipients of some kind of structure of law that's delivered to them by others.
And it's going on across the nation. Recently, this week in the New York Times, there was an article about a town in New York called Dryden that is currently awaiting a word from the New York Court of Appeals about whether their zoning ordinance prohibiting fracking will be upheld. It's being challenged by a company in the oil and gas industry. Is this what will happen? Is this what needs to happen in order to make these community-originating ordinances stick?
Well, what's happening in New York right now is a little different from our work. The folks there are attempting to use zoning ordinances and land use laws to essentially secure local control, and that's a lot different from our work. Our work is not about relying on land use plans or zoning ordinances. It's about actually drafting standalone ordinances that come directly from the municipality's police power rights. We think that the New York stuff, because its feet is planted in the wrong place, makes it an easy target for the higher courts to unravel and actually preempt and overturn. And so we think strategically that was probably an error in New York to pursue those things. But they all come out of the same need, which is, hey, this is our community and we have a right to decide what happens here. And although they chose zoning ordinances, which make it a lot easier to strike something like that down, and ours is a different path, it's the same need that's expressed there. And I think, you know, to answer your question frontally, is that what's going to have to happen in the United States is tens of thousands of lawsuits that eventually drive a different kind of movement that begins to rewrite the constitutional structures. So it's not about turning to the courts for a remedy, because after all, the courts are the ones that have fashioned some of these corporate rights doctrines over the past 150 years in the first place. So you can't turn to them for a remedy, because they're merely interpreting law, as they've done for the past 150, 200 years in this area. And so the idea is that eventually you need a new New Mexico constitution. You need a new constitution in the state of New Mexico that actually overrides your legislature and that recognizes that municipal communities have more rights than the corporations that are seeking to come in and do business. And in fact, to go one step further, the Mora County Ordinance, which is embedded in the ordinance text, not only declares that corporations who violate the ordinance are not considered persons or have certain rights within the county, but also that any permits issued by the state which violate the ordinance are null and void within the county. And so it's about finding this right to local self-government that's immune from state preemption as well as immune from corporate rights assertions that needs to actually be written textually into the Constitution, because frankly, people have given up hope that the state or federal government is going to help them stop things like fracking, and people have given up hope that the courts are going to help them either. And so the idea is you're going to have to leverage all these different forces and institutions to give birth to a real people's movement that eventually changes the constitutional structure. And I think that's the journey ahead.
And that's what you'll be talking about here in Santa Fe. And I assume you'll be telling people and citizens what they can do to start movements like this before we're threatened or during, while we're being threatened by corporate anything, mining, fracking, anything that might be damaging to the community but might get through if the community doesn't have enough say in the matter.
Yes, and there are various other places in New Mexico that are thinking about launching these kinds of efforts, and people can do it in their home place. In fact, it has to happen that way, because in New Mexico, you eventually need hundreds of communities who begin to move forward with this new kind of lawmaking. Otherwise, places like Moore County and City of Las Vegas have bullseyes on their backs, because industry understands that they can begin to peel these places away. And so the point of our trip is actually to explain this work to folks, and that if there are common denominators or things that are useful to their own organizing in their own communities, that they can take that stuff and begin to move with it in New Mexico in different places.
You're working with the New Mexico Coalition for Community Rights on this event.
Yes.
Do you do a lot of work with them? Is that a place where people in New Mexico could start if they're interested in getting involved?
Absolutely. And the New Mexico Coalition for Community Rights has now joined 8 other state networks. So as more and more communities and municipalities begin to pass law in different states, they've begun to stitch themselves together. And the same thing has happened in New Mexico. And so these state-level coalitions have begun to emerge to begin to do a lot of things. But one of those is to begin to drive that constitutional change that we talked about. And so in New Mexico, that's the entity. It's the New Mexico Coalition for Community Rights, which now has a board which represents several of these different communities across the state, and is now launched and is intending and now assisting other folks in other places to build the same kinds of mechanisms.
I saw on your website, which is very informative, and I'll tell listeners the URL. It's celdf.org, Community Environmental Legal Defense Fund initials. There's a lot of information about the community rights idea, movement, and what people can do. You discuss your democracy schools. Have you had any of your democracy schools here in New Mexico?
We have. I think we've had about a dozen so far in New Mexico over the past 6 or 7 years. And Kathleen Dudley, who is the coordinator for the New Mexico Coalition for Community Rights, has been the host for most of those. And a lot of them focused on Moore County work, and so getting folks in Moore County through the school, and then for those folks to begin working on the Moore County ordinance work. But the democracy schools pretty much mirror the journey which I talked about traveling a couple minutes ago, which is, you know, they run Friday night and all day Saturday, but on Friday night we talk about why the regulatory system isn't working, or at least why it's not working for us. You know, a lot of people come to us and they say, well, the regulatory system is broken because it's not protecting our health, safety, and welfare, to which we anymore say, well, maybe it's not broken, maybe it's working perfectly, because maybe its purpose is actually to exhaust you, not to protect health, safety, and welfare. And so we take people through the history of regulatory agencies on Friday night, which sounds really dry, but it's actually a good thing to explain that people are caught in a situation for a reason, that it's been set up for that. And it helps them to understand how they got caught in that vortex and are spinning around in it now if they try to stop something through the regulatory scheme. And then on Saturday, we cover about 1,000 years of history to show people how regulatory agencies were concocted out of a system of law that was intended not to be democratic, but was intended to give certain rights and powers to certain categories of people over others. And then on Saturday afternoon, we talk about some of the stories that are coming out of these communities and how the work has progressed in Pennsylvania and New Hampshire and Virginia and Ohio and New Mexico, Oregon, Washington. Now we're working in Hawaii. We actually just got back from Australia and New Zealand, where folks in other countries are now watching what's happening in these U.S. communities and want to begin to replicate it in their own home country. And so there's a lot of stuff happening around the United States right now and internationally, but the democracy schools are really the starting place. We have a 300-page curriculum. People come through it as if it's a class and then come out the other side, hopefully with a platform ready to proceed with doing actual community organizing.
And then they become our community leaders and help others in the community learn more about how we can take back our rights.
Yeah, that's the hope. And in some ways, when we say take back our rights, it assumes we had them in the first place, and I think we did a long, long time ago, perhaps. But, you know, maybe American Revolutionary times, the original sentiment coming out was that people had rights and that those rights couldn't be overridden. But in some ways, the entire U.S. system of law, even back to the U.S. constitutional process, has been about actually removing rights from us and lodging them someplace higher. And this work is all about dislodging that notion that rights should only belong, for example, to corporations, and actually subordinating those corporate and property rights underneath the rights of communities and people to actually build sustainability. Because in reality, we're on the edge of and have proceeded past now ecological collapse. We are now in crisis from a variety of different scientific data and viewpoints, and that the fact is that we need to pull ourselves out, but you can't pull yourself out with a structure of law that deems sustainability to be illegal. Because if the corporate actors are the ones with the rights that can override communities and their interest is unsustainable in terms of coming in and vacuuming out resources from our communities, that the law is going to be on the side of that unsustainability. We actually have to change physically and grab hold of it and twist it to actually make the law a vehicle for sustainability rather than for unsustainability, which it is now.
Well, I think you'll find a lot of supporters here in northern New Mexico. And I want to remind viewers or listeners that Thomas Lindsay will be speaking at the Unitarian Universalist Congregation next Saturday, November 2nd at 7. He'll also be speaking in Taos and Las Vegas on the 3rd and 4th. For more information about these events, you can go to the website of the New Mexico Coalition for Community Rights, which is nmccr.org. I want to say thanks so much, Thomas Lindsay, for being with us today.
Yes, thanks for having us on the show.
And I hope to see you at the Unitarian Universalist Congregation. Thanks again. We'll be right back after this break with Rob DeWalt and Speaking of the Arts.